Dun, 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 dun. Here we go, baby.
Here we are.
We're back. We're live. Back. Holy cow. It's Two Misfits and a Carpenter. And guess what, folks? We forgot. We looked at the episodes, but it's our anniversary.
It is. 2 weeks plus two.
Yeah,
weeks.
Plus two. Yeah. So
54 weeks.
We want to do a little anniversary special. This is crazy. We've been doing this for a whole year. Holy cow. Can we get some audience? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate you. Whoa! So, I don't know how we got to a year of rambling and babbling and talking about all this stuff, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
54 weeks later.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, it seems like a month in or something.
Yeah,
but yeah.
It does. You know, we thought we'd do just a little recap, folks. Maybe a little, you know, for all you guys who haven't, you know, maybe you're just tuning in now, but crazy. You know, we got into this. We wanted to talk about these things a long time ago because we were two, you know, beat up religious guys. We were going to church, different places, mm-hmm. But we were hearing the same stuff. And you know what? We couldn't measure up.
No.
As much as we tried, as much as we went to church, as much as we read the Bible, it just seemed like no matter what, God wasn't very pleased with us.
Yep.
For sure.
Weren't even sure if we were even saved half the time.
Exactly.
It was all based on how we were performing and we're not performing. So you're constantly in this stage of angst all the time, worried that you're not his, that what you're doing or not doing is not going to be enough or it's the other way, and that's a terrible way to live.
Yes. We were in Bozeman, Montana. You guys have heard this story, some of you have. You know, we had just kind of met each other through some real estate. Sean had some properties, and I was looking to rent one of them. And
not buy, of course.
Not buy at that point. Should have. Oh, my God.
I know.
Should've.
I told
hindsight.
You.
Hindsight. But we would go to coffee shops and start talking about grace, and we wanted to start a little coffee shop, our own. And we wanted to have people that we knew had just been kind of beat up and barraged and kind of felt the same way that we did, that there had to be more. So
yeah.
Here we are a year later in the desert.
And it's just us still.
Jeez. Yeah. just we went
we
to
are
Montana.
A pariah.
You know, we were and here we
they
are.
They kicked us out of the state. We had to leave.
it's been a crazy ride. Huh?
Yeah, it's been a wild, you know, 10 years, however long it's been.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But so we thought we would talk a little bit about, I don't know, I guess what it really all boils down. You know, we do all these episodes. What have we learned in the last year?
Yeah.
You know, we've talked to a lot of people. I think we've encouraged a few people out there, which has been cool. If it was just one, then it's amazing. But as you guys know, it really all boils down to the same thing. And that same thing is just is God's grace. You know, it's the gospel.
Yeah, I think what we've learned is that, what have I learned? I think the biggest thing is the law, gospel, and keeping them separate. The law is holy, comes from a holy God. It has its purpose. The gospel has its purpose. And when we mix those two, we get a religious moralism that takes precedent, and the Christian becomes the main thing instead of the Christ, which is why grace is so important. And that's how we're saved, by grace through faith in Christ. And so that's what we wanted to talk about. We've talked a lot about a lot of different topics, right?
Yes.
But all of them involve one thing. It's a lot of misconceptions in Christianity. That was one of our first. How we're being taught, what is important, what's not. And a lot of it revolves around the performance of the Christian, or the lack of performance in the Christian. And that is kind of what our podcast is about. So 54 weeks of that, and I think we've gained some listeners that are interested, have never heard this before, and we've probably lost a lot of people that think we're antinomians. So, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing how, I guess, repulsive is a bad word, but it really
sure fits, though.
It does. It does. People do not want to hear that they do not have to work for their acceptance in Christ, their acceptance in God. And it's amazing, again, how your life changes so radically. Your happiness, your
peace. Really peace.
You know, the fruits of the Spirit.
Because I'm not a happy guy most of the time. And I can't say that I'm extremely happy. But I do have peace in my life. I do know that I have a God who loves me. He's for me. And, you know, the big picture is, that is joyful to me. The day-to-day activities we've talked about on this podcast haven't, you know, we've been up, we've been down, we've been sideways, you know, and, but that's life. That's real, right? So none of us are going to walk through this life and, oh, we're great now. Many times when we come to know the truth and know Christ, things actually don't get better. They actually get worse a lot of times. But the perspective of who we belong to and our identity is something we've tried to emphasize quite a bit on this podcast over the last year.
Yeah. And if you break it down, folks, if you're out there, if you're seeking a relationship with God, if you are, tired, if you're tired of carrying that weight, if you're tired of trying to perform and be in the right graces of God from one day to the next, or one duty to the next duty, or falling short of the glory, or you think, you know what, I don't want to go to church because that place will burn down if I walked in because of all the things that I've done wrong. You know, the religion can kind of, you can have that interest and seek it. And I guess our point is, when you seek it, really go after it to find the heart of God and the gospel, and ask about the gospel, seek the gospel. Those, you know, the what that means and what it is, instead of adopting rules and regulations, instead of, you know, law-based Christianity, which really is going to lead to just constant striving to try to live up or try to attain something that's already been attained for you.
Yeah, there's a reason why the Christian church in America is losing numbers. It's not because of Jesus, is because we're off message. And, you know, when everything's based on the Christian and his morality, his performance, his, you know, being good to create righteousness, and even to determine whether he's saved or not, and we're all a bunch of, you know, fruit checkers and gatekeepers, that is not the gospel. Nope. So, and what it does is it leads to despair in a number of people, and it leads to self-righteousness in the other. And by the way, Jesus had a lot to say about self-righteousness, because it keeps them from him.
Totally.
Despair, they've just given up.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you take two testimonies from two guys like us, and we've been able to, you know, our idols, if you will, the people we look up to, if you will, in the idols, the wrong word, the people we look up to.
Definitely the wrong word.
The people that we...
we'll talk about idols in the next episode, all right?
The people that we respect, much better word, there we go. So in this walk have been people that have gone through similar things of us. I mean, they've done, you know, typically how it works is, you know, you come to a place in your life where you're seeking God. So you go to a church, someone invites you, you go, you start your, your trek, if you will, or your, this whole life of Christianity. But the problem is, and again, what we're so adamant about, is that typically in America and in the whole world, what happens is you get into this congregation, and instead of having life breathed into you, instead of learning about the gospel, instead of learning about Jesus, instead of learning about truth, the love that he has for you, you get into it, and you get all of these things that you have to do. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to live this, you got to quit that, you got to quit that, you got to do all these different things, and then you're going to be right with God. So we all really...
And you got to keep that up, by the way.
Yeah, it's not just a one-time deal.
Exactly.
And so you start, and you go, and, you know, a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, and you're constantly striving and striving and striving. But nobody really tells you about this thing called grace. And nobody really talks much about these amazing things that have been done for you in Jesus. They didn't me, they didn't Sean, and they didn't so many people that we know. And what happens, again, is we lose that and we start this race that really can't ever be won.
No.
And so one day over the rainbow, you finally, years and years and years and years later, you get spit out at the other end. And you go, you know what, this just isn't for me. I'm not into church. I'm going to go out in the woods. I'm going to go be by myself. These people are all just very judgmental people. And that's the common thing. But the reality of it is if we can just speak some truth about the gospel and about what's already been done and that the race is over and that it's finished, then you start feeling this peace that Sean's talking about. You start feeling this, oh my gosh, like this joy that something has already been done for you that can't be undone. It's forever, and your place is in heaven with God, and you're here to love, and you're here to do different things than just to strive to keep commandments. So, you know, again, like Sean said, 54 episodes later, we're talking about the exact same stuff, but mm-hmm. it's what keeps us going because we have to remind ourselves.
Yeah, it's the heartbeat, and I'm so jaded. I'm very cynical. We live in a cynical
you
world.
You are?
No, I am.
I didn't know
no,
that
no,
about you.
And what do you guys got here about a 54-week training program, which is perfect for me?
There you go.
Come out of here, a lean, mean theologian, spiritual machine. But I think every time we go over this and we're saying it out loud, I hear this in the background all the time of, yeah, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, that doesn't mean. Nobody said that's what that means. You said that's what that means, okay? I mean, how can I, who died to sin, still live in it? Well, I'm a sinner, okay? But that is not my goal. My bent is for the King now. I am a new creature. I feel those things. It does not mean that I'm not a sinner anymore. It just means that my sin's forgiven. The last thing I want to do is sin more. What I want to do is keep Jesus' commandments of loving one another as I have loved you, and loving the unlovable, and showing them where there's bread. And that is actually what it looks like to be sanctified, because we accept God's love for us more and more. Most of sin is we don't believe the promise that God has given us. And our old Adam fights against it all the time. So we try to find things that are 6 million things that are smaller than Jesus every day to try to save ourselves, whether it's being good, not cussing, not drinking, not smoking, not doing all these type of things, and we end up destroying ourselves because we can't do all those things consistent enough to save ourselves. So we look, what happens is we go to things that make our flesh feel good, whether that's greed, money, sex, whatever the case may be. And we end up destroying ourselves. And finally, people just throw up their hands. So that's why we're here. This is what we're trying to talk about. And I can tell you this, it's going to ring with most of the people out there that are struggling with the same things.
Right. We've talked about, I guess we prefaced it at the beginning of our podcast a year ago, but we didn't really go after, you know, new believers so much. I think some of this stuff's a little weighty for somebody maybe just jumping in, but it's also nice to get them on the grace and understanding immediately. But like we talked about, we wanted to talk to a lot of people who were very discouraged after their experience with church. They were very discouraged after their, you know, continual strive to do right, where eventually they just want to give up. You know, that God thing just wasn't for me, or that church thing just wasn't for me, or those people were very judgmental, or I just, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing. And there's a lot more of those people that are popping up, you know, mm-hmm. and again, I think this little ministry that we have, if you call it that, this podcast, you know, where we got about 300 listeners,
mm-hmm.
I think is people that have similar experiences.
Yeah, so. I think it's fairly common, and yeah. These are people that aren't giving up on God. They're giving up on what it means to be with God, what it means, because I think we're off message as a whole. That's not an absolute statement. There's some very good churches out there. We're not saying don't go to church. seek out churches. I'm all for all of that. What I am saying is that we don't understand the gospel well, and we certainly don't understand the law and gospel, because we mix that and we come up with something that's actually a false gospel, Paul says. So anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we had a gentleman that reached out to us. We've got some folks that that message us, and we'd love to hear from you guys too.
Some of them we can't put on the air. FBI's checking them out now, but
oh boy, oh boy,
that's a joke. That's a joke.
But yeah, if you guys want to jump on Instagram under Two Misfits and a Carpenter and shoot us, you know, your thoughts, some messages, or anything that you want us to speak or talk
whatever
about,
whatever you want. Yeah, we can take it. We got thick skin. I'm married. I've heard way worse this morning before I even got here. Just kidding, sweets. Love
Sean,
you.
He's full of the jokes today. He's
a funny guy.
You are a pretty funny guy.
I am.
So this is John Doe. You know, he came at us. Little Mr. John Doe on a thing, which is awesome. He says, "Hey dudes, I love your podcast, although I'm still struggling to accept God's grace, and I'm still wanting to just do better. I know that Jesus paid all my debts, and that all my debts I still rack up. I'm reaching out because I'd like to hear your take on a Christian struggle with alcohol. I tend to drink once in a while, maybe twice a week, but now and then I like to tie one on. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. Thank you."
Yeah.
Well, thanks for reaching out to us, my man. I think like everything, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, you know? And go ahead, Sean. I see you're wanting to jump on
me too. How's that? You know, me too, John?
Me too as well.
I partake. I've struggled with walking away many times where I've gotten... I've been inebriated. That's something that Bible in Galatians says, don't be full of drunkenness. It leads to debauchery. And I think the biggest thing we have to look at here is if you struggle with alcohol, don't drink alcohol. That's the biggest thing. But there is nothing saying that you can't. If you want to have a glass of wine at dinner, have a glass of wine. You're free to do so. But what happens when we lead to drunkenness, and there are commands, but it's for your benefit. Okay, it's for your benefit. It leads because you're not making good decisions, because what happens is you are not yourself. So when you're drunk, your flesh takes over, and typically the flesh makes very bad decisions where the spirit would not. So you're not walking in the spirit. And those are some of the warnings. And again, if you look at in Galatians, when he's writing there was a lot of paganism going on, orgies, in Corinth, they abused the table with drunkenness and those type of things. And that leads to immorality because you are not yourself. So it's being sober-minded, being in control of yourself, and excess alcohol can cause problems. But the reason they mention that is it's for your benefit, because otherwise you can get hurt. So wisdom comes in, Christian. We're not going to say you should or shouldn't. There's a lot of people that struggle with alcohol. They do not drink anymore. Alcoholics Anonymous, those type of things. And I think those are great. Wisdom comes in. If you struggle with this, this is something that has got the better on, it's probably best not to do that then. But again, we're a couple guys that are trying to figure a lot of those things out. I know what the Bible says. It doesn't dismiss it. I mean, Paul said to Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach. It was more medicinal at that point because of the water and those type of things. So we're not going to say, no, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. We will say, you're a new creature in Christ. We're not saying you can't partake, but if you have a problem with alcohol, hey, be wise and say, you know, I got a problem with this. I'm going to push that away. So use wisdom.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Sean. I think, it's one of those things where I know you're not either, Sean. We're not going to sit here and tell you, no, alcohol is forbidden and that is something that you cannot do. You cannot have, and I've studied with a couple of different pastors. I was telling Sean about this in Montana, leading large congregations, and they were under the impression biblically that wine was grape juice. And as today, you as a Christian are not to partake in any sort of alcohol, and wine was not really wine scripturally. And oh my gosh, I went to around and around and around with this guy. Again, it's just like Sean said. I mean, it's what you can handle, and you know yourself. So the quote unquote tie one on, we know if you know we know if we're going to go home tonight and have a glass of wine and relax, that's great. You know, for me, that's a thing in my life for sure. Wine is huge. I mean, I just finished my level one sommelier. I mean, I'm a wino.
Mm-hmm.
But I know personally when I have that feeling of, okay, I'm going to go out tonight and I'm going to have some drinks, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like any other sin. I think about it this way. And one of my pastors would tell me this a lot. Gary Green, one of my bestest friends, he would say sin is the same as if someone was knocking on your door. So imagine you get this knock at your door at home. You go and you open up the door and there's sin. And it looks right at you in the face and asks you, hey, Craig, can I come in? I want to come in and hang out with you. When you look at that and you say, no, sin, you know what? I see you. We're cool. I'm going to go ahead and close the door. Or we say, you know what? Tonight, come on in and let's have some fun. I think in everything in life, whether it's drinking, whether it's, you know, anger, whether it's, I mean, we can go down the list.
Yeah, whatever vice you want to
throw
in there.
We have that choice. We know when it's right there at the door, and we know when it's when we're letting it in or not. I mean, we know it with lust. You know it with your eyes. You know it with your brain.
Yeah,
you know it with
yeah.
all these things. And so sin is going to be there. It's going to knock all the time. I think the key is just learning that, just like Sean said, your ability to have one glass, if you can do that, then amen. But, you know, when you struggle with alcohol, there's no such thing as one drink.
No.
And that one drink is like, and you know it, you know that if that one drink is going to lead to 10, then it's probably something that you should steer clear of. Because, just like Sean said, nothing good is really going to come of it. You're going to feel horrible in the morning. You're going to do horrible stuff. You're going to, you know, go through the process of, I mean, it's just, you know, and it's like that with, I mean, alcohol is not the only one.
But no.
Obviously,
there's
it's
a lot of
we're
yeah.
chatting about. So, as Sean said, be wise. And I think,
and thanks for writing that and posting that or asking us. Again, we're not experts on anything, but I can tell you what the Bible says. I've struggled with this and have learned that I have to put certain boundaries, or I simply don't drink anymore. That's decisions that I have to make personally, based on how I can handle that vice.
Yeah.
You know, but we can substitute a lot of different things. It's just that alcohol does have some, you know, if you can't control, you're an alcoholic, that it leads to ruining of lives, relationships, families, things like that. I don't think this is what John Doe is saying. I think he's saying, look, we're not giving you permission to drink. We're not giving you permission not to drink. If there isn't anything forbidding you not to drink. But there is something saying, talking about a drunkenness, because you're not yourself then. The spirit is not, you're not walking in the spirit there. You're walking in the flesh and you make bad decisions. So
it's all the same. And this is for all of us in our walk. You know, I mean, me, when I jump on the highway this afternoon, I'm going to have sin knocking at my door because some yahoo's going to pull out in front of me and give me the bird. And my temper is going to go through the roof. And what I'm going to do most of the time is I'm going to speed up. I'm going to give him the finger, swerve into his lane a little bit, scare him really bad. And then I'm going to continue up on my ride home.
You take the 101, right?
No, that's
letting, so I don't know where.
That's letting sin come right in and hang out with Craig. You know, and that's not only dangerous, but that's stupid.
Yeah.
And so I have to think about it to myself. How am I going to react in these situations?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Being a single guy, you know, I'm a single guy right now, just to be honest with you, John Doe, like, tell you what, man, I mean, being a single guy is rough because I want to do things that my flesh wants to do all of the time, constantly. And those aren't real great things as a Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
And so sin is at my door in that all the time, too. And it's difficult for me not to let that in, because trust me, I want to tie one on, quote unquote, tie one on, like, a lot.
Yeah. In that way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So, so we all have these struggles and everybody out there's got things going on. So are we going to be perfect? No, but guess what? We're never going to be perfect. because we have one that is perfect. Now, again, is that, oh my gosh,
that's
thanks,
not
Greg.
Permission
hey,
to sin.
Yeah, right, let's right. go, let's go, let's go. Yeah. No, that's exactly not. What that means is that I can fall and somebody's there to pick me up. That doesn't mean I'm going to go do it on purpose, but I have a Lord and Savior that is there, you know, yeah. and he's with me. And that's part of what we talk about in our anniversary special is just that, is that's the whole thing. Guess what happens when you fall down and then you fall down again and you fall down in life and you just can't, you know what, God, I'm just not the guy. You know what, God, I can't do this. You know, you chose somebody and it definitely shouldn't have been me because I'm just struggling and struggling and struggling and I'm never going to be good enough. And that's
the whole reason he came.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
nobody
guess what?
Is.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Join the world that we live in.
Yeah.
But when we have that idea that I'm getting up and I'm doing this again because I'm living up to what I've already attained.
Yes. And I'm forgiven.
That's just it.
You know,
and we can't understand sometimes the height from which we've fallen, as yeah. the Bible says. Like, we can't understand that, like, guess what? It's finished.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens to you, whether you're drunk or not drunk, whether you're this, whether you're that, whatever the case is, God still loves you.
Yeah.
Now, and then again, that's not.
No.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
And we have to see that that's what the churches, in my opinion, aren't preaching enough, because it's just not a common.
I just think when we use the law to try to keep the law, we get worse. And that's a fact. But if we use the gospel, we will get better, but not in the ways that we necessarily think or we're told we should be. We're just not thinking about those. It'll be actually in loving others. With that, you know, a lot of people struggle. They're like, well, I'm just never going to be good enough. It's like, nobody is. I mean, God saves sinners because that's all there is. That's all there is.
That is.
A lot of times we want to measure, right? We want to measure the distance between sinners.
We always do.
And the problem with that is that we don't understand the law and the severity of the law. It's be perfect every second of the day. So what we do is we lower that hurdle so that we can jump over it and say, well, look, you know, Craig, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm better than you. And that's what destroys people. This is why it's so important when you're struggling with sin. We hide this stuff just like Adam and Eve hid from God when they sinned. That's why it's so important that we need to have a group of people. And that's what the church is supposed to be, okay? It's supposed to be a hospital for Amen. Sinners, okay? Amen. Not a museum for the righteous. Because nobody in any building is righteous, including the one that's spitting it out from the top, okay? He's yep. a sinner too, or she's a sinner too, or whatever. So what we need to understand is that you're not what you do. You're what Christ has done for you. Amen. And when you understand that and you're reminded of that on a daily basis, your performance is actually loving your neighbor, and you will be doing, you're just not focusing on yourself. You're not navel gazing. You're actually more concerned about those around you, which is what it means to be sanctified.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've reached the end of our 54th episode, and, you know, every week who knows what we're going to talk about next week, but it no seems clue. That something pops up, and we come up with, you know, with something somewhat relevant, so I guess we'll continue after our anniversary.
At least to us it's relevant. Yeah.
For our anniversary special, are we going to continue? I think we're going to continue, because even though we're in the room right now, you guys don't see this.
Dude,
we're in a,
it's so
it's
hot
about 140 here. Degrees in this
room. It's
like room.
Africa hot. Tarzan and can stand this kind
of
hot.
It's basically a little back closet of a gym, and we've carved it out to be a little bit of a area where, if you guys would laugh, if you saw where
if you saw it.
But for Sean to drive 45 minutes to come and for us to set this thing up and to do this, you guys would, it's just something that's on our heart, and we hope that it has encouraged you over this last
Amen.
Year.
Yep.
And if you're just now tuning in, then tune in for more, because I'm sure, you know, we'll keep spitting these out. But please do, though, if you have something on your heart, or if there's something that you want us to chat about or discuss.
Or criticism or whatever.
Yeah, we'd love it. We'd love to hear from you guys. So again, jump on Instagram, go to Two Misfits and a Carpenter and shoot us a message. So
yeah.
Love you guys. Have an amazing week, and we'll catch you on the flip.
Cool. You are loved. Peace.